Our gospel lesson is Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Jesus and his disciples entered the house, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On June 16, 1858, more than 1,000 delegates met in the Springfield, Illinois State House for the Republican State Convention. At 5 p.m., they chose Abraham Lincoln as their candidate for the U.S. Senate to run against Democrat Stephen A. Douglas. At 8 p.m., Lincoln delivered an address to his Republican colleagues in the Hall of Representatives, where he spoke out against the institution of slavery. Before he delivered the speech, he shared it with his law partner, William H. Herndon, who thought it was morally courageous but politically incorrect and urged him to change it. Lincoln refused. In the speech, Lincoln said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall. But I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other." Lincoln referred to the house divided language this way: "The proposition is indisputably true. I want to use some universally known figure expressed in simple language as universally known, that it may strike home to the minds of men in order to rouse them to the peril of the times."
sure that was all of the sermon, but this is not okay. We will. Shall we continue on with the service, Scott? And I'm not sure where that cutoff was. We will start with, had Lincoln listened to those who urged him to change his speech, who found it politically incorrect, how would U.S. history have altered it? If Lincoln had won the Senate seat, would he have run for presidency? If Lincoln had not become president, what would the United States look like now? Slave or free? No longer united. A house divided against itself indeed cannot stand. In this week's gospel lesson, we continue to read the third chapter of Mark. Jesus has been preaching, teaching, calling his disciples, casting out demons and healing. In the last week's lesson, he proclaimed himself the Lord of the Sabbath, after being accused of violating Sabbath restrictions by allowing his disciples to pluck grain as they walked through the field, and by healing a man with a withered hand. He has shown the Sabbath to be a day of restoration of mind, body, and spirit. Jesus' fame has been spreading. Crowds have been looking to him for healing. A leper has spread the word about the way Jesus healed him, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly. The crowds recognize that there is something special about Jesus, something holy. They won't even allow him to stop and eat. So great is their need for what he has offered. He is in danger of being crushed by their numbers. Jesus has returned home and the crowds have followed him. You would think that people in his home territory would be proud of Jesus and what he is accomplishing, but they are not. Word is sent to Mary to come and get her boy because he has gone out of his mind. People say that he is driving out demons because he is possessed by a demon. I have to wonder how Mary felt as she headed out to see what was going on with her son. How she must have felt when she saw the large number of strangers reaching out to Jesus for healing, and when she heard the mumblings of her friends and neighbors as they spoke out against him. How must she have felt as a family member told her that Jesus must be stopped, believing the voices of those who said Jesus was out of his mind and a demon possessed? The very people who knew Jesus best have difficulty distinguishing between good and evil. The same problem experienced by the religious leaders in last week's lesson. The people who should have been supporting him, who should have recognized where Jesus' power came from, were the ones who spoke out most vociferously against him. Jesus speaks in intertwined parables, using language that both enlightens and confuses. When confronted with the accusation that he is casting out demons because he is possessed by one, he responds that a house divided cannot stand, that Satan cannot cast out Satan. He is telling them that they have done it all wrong, that his ability to cast out demons does not show that he is in the league with evil powers, but instead that he has authority over them. He talks about how one cannot enter and plunder a strong man's house without binding up the strong man, meaning that if Satan is the owner of a house, Jesus must tie him up to plunder that house, rescue and restore those being held captive there that the devil has claimed for his own. Jesus is the enemy of Satan, not a collaborator with him. Jesus is the reason why Satan's rule over the earth has come to an end. Jesus asserts that when those who oppose him call the spirit at work within him unclean, they are blaspheming against God's own Holy Spirit. Jesus is possessed, yes, by the Holy Spirit. You can hear the people tell Jesus, as they would later tell Lincoln, that he needs to change his speech, that he's morally courageous but politically incorrect, that it will give ammunition to his enemies. The crowds that follow Jesus, that sit at his feet as he teaches, that press him seeking healing, they want him to continue what he is doing. They have become insiders in the house of God. Yet Jesus' family wants him to stop what he is doing because of what people are saying, because his behavior is being perceived in a negative way by the religious leaders. We see them literally on the outside of the house where Jesus is, paralleling the message of the parable Jesus is using. The crowd that is gathered around him has come in faith and hope, while his own family and the religious leaders have come in judgment and condemnation. When Jesus is told that his family has come, he looks around at those gathered and asks who his family really is, then states that those who follow him are his mother and brother and sister, that those who follow him are part of the household that he has established. The true members of his family are those who do not stand in his way, but instead are obedient to the will of God. To paraphrase Lincoln's House Divided speech at the end of the time, the world will become all one thing, either enslaved in sin or freed in Christ. It must become all one thing or all the other. I believe that Jesus' relatives and the religious leaders wanted to do God's will. Their problem is how they define the will of God, how they define the boundaries of God's kingdom, how they expected God and God's will to fit within their own beliefs. I believe that they wanted to be holy, that they did not want to stand in the way of God, that they thought they were doing the will of God. I also believe they were mistaken. There are two households, the household of God and the household of Satan. You cannot live in both. Those households cannot be under one roof. One is clean, holy, and good. The other is unclean, demonic, and evil. If you are part of the household of God, you are part of the family of faith, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. It is not a house that can be overthrown by the forces of evil. The house that the Lord has built will stand, and we must not stand in his way. In Meditations of the Heart, Baptist minister and civil rights leader Howard Thurman wrote a prayer about wanting to be holy. Let me share part of it and ask that we use it as our prayer for today. In my heart, above all else, let thy love and integrity envelop me. Until my love is perfected and the last vestige of my desiring is no longer in conflict with thy spirit. Lord, I want to be more holy.